It's Jenny and Bill with Simple Bath and Kitchen.
We know the world feels a little crazy sometimes, but your home, that should be your safe place.
A beautiful kitchen for your family, a bathroom that feels like your own private retreat.
At Simple Bath and Kitchen, we have a fine-tuned process that makes remodeling something that you can actually enjoy.
Because when everything outside is unpredictable,
your home should be exactly what you need it to be.
Visit us at simplebathandkitchen.com to regain your peace today.
We make it simple for you.
141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for midweek league action before we're even over the weekend's drama. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst says he's had no discussions with the board about his future and he's confident he can turn things around. Ange Postecoglou won't let the upcoming World Cup impact his team selection as they look to maintain or stretch their lead at the top before the break. And two games tonight as Hibs host Ross County and Aberdeen travel to Livingston. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight is Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
It's a big week ahead, Gordon, with only two fixtures remaining until the World Cup, and especially for Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. He may have said that he hasn't had discussions with the board, but he'll know that nothing less than a win against Hearts will do on Wednesday night. A huge week after a disastrous week behind him. He has to win against Hearts if he has any hope of clinging on to his job.
Yeah, all the focus is on the Rangers manager just now, Gordon. I was listening to part of the show last night. A lot of Rangers fans are a little bit unhappy, especially after the performance and the result at the weekend. Massive tomorrow night, especially at Ibrox. There'll be a full house there. Real pressure on, not just the manager, but the players that's got to perform. You're looking at some terrific games, especially tonight as well. Hibs got a chance to put a bit of pressure on Aberdeen to get into third. Aberdeen against Livy, a lot of talk about Dave Martindale ripping up the pitch and heading down the M8 to Ibrox. But I'm looking forward to this week's football, as Mark rightly said.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. That is the number you need, so get in touch and let us know what is on your mind. Your chance to have your say. Rangers fans, it was so busy on the phones last night, loads of you couldn't get through. I'm sure with an extra day, you've had an extra 24 hours to gather your thoughts. You've listened, I'm sure, to Giovanni Van Bronckhorst today, and if you haven't, I'll play it for you very soon. No discussions with the board. How do you feel about that? Does that surprise you? Does it disappoint you? Or is that what you would expect? Because we did get some backing for the manager last night. He says he loves Rangers and he's confident he's the man to turn things around. How do you feel about that? 0141 951 1025. Of course, a big game tomorrow night at home to Hearts. Some interesting stuff personnel wise. I think no fashion Sakala. Alex Lowry's fit and available but not included in the squad. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst just deciding he's not to be part of that group at the moment. So anything that's on your mind tonight, let's hear it, Rangers fans. How do you feel tonight, hearing from the manager that there are no talks with the board, he is going to stay? Certainly that's the way it seems for now. 0141 951 1025, or Twitter at Clyde SSB. And Celtic fans, I'm sure everything feels pretty rosy in the garden. You wouldn't have been saying that after that VAR handball palaver at the weekend. But you go to Motherwell tomorrow night. Ange Postecoglou is talking about some of the players that are heading off to the World Cup. Are you just expecting maximum points before the break? Is that all you can focus on at the moment? Do let us know. And two big games tonight. 0141 951 1025. Come on down, please. I said it at the start, Mark, because I meant it. I don't think we're over the weekend's drama, whether that be Rangers disappointment, whether it be VAR or whatever, and we're straight back at it tonight.
Yeah, no time to rest, and that's what happens when you've got a World Cup just round the corner and you need to condense these fixtures in. But the weekend's drama was remarkable, really, when you think it. I mean, we're standing here in the studio, we're chatting about VAR decisions and the penalty decisions against Celtic, and we kind of brushed over the fact that Celtic were a couple of minutes away from dropping points, and what that could have then meant for Rangers going to McDermott Park and the feeling that that could have gave them. You know, then you go a couple of minutes and everything swings in its heads again. Celtic's just got this unbelievable mentality to get the job done, no matter how long it takes. And then you swing over to Sunday, where you would have expected a reaction from the Rangers players and Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's side. And he got the opposite. He got a performance that was lacking ideas, lacking pace, lacking everything, really. and they probably got what they deserved in the end. And Rangers fans may argue, or even players may say, oh well, we got 20 plus corners and we battered St Johnstone. Well, they didn't really, and they didn't really create many clear cut chances, and it was just indicative of Rangers' season so far. So huge drama at the weekend, but we're right back into it, and there's no time to rest for the players. They have to go again. Celtic players have to show that they can do it again away at Motherwell, and Rangers have to have a big performance against Hearts.
Harold, let's hear what Giovanni Van Bronckhorst had to say today, Rangers fans, because this is what we're looking for you to react to. You, I'm sure you've all been wondering what's happening since the weekend. Is it a serious conversation about the manager job? Is it going to rumble on? What's the latest update? Well, we got one today from him. So what do you think? Pick up the phone right now and let us know. 01419511025. He is confident he can turn things around. He says no discussions have been held with the board about his future, and he's well aware of growing pressure from the supporters.
Well, it's hardly not to be aware of it. You know, I don't live in a basement, so it's, for me, it's obviously, you know, it's for everyone to see, for myself as well. The only thing is I can focus on my performance, you know, with the team, and to focus on winning games. That's all that matters. You know, I know how it works in football. You know, I'm 47. I've been here for many years to know how it works. So for me, that's you know, that's not a problem at all. Of course, I can turn it around. Well, otherwise, I'm not sitting here. Well, I speak with Ross every day. You know, they haven't discussed my position at all. We know how the situation is. You know how we get, that we need to win, have wins, and that's all that matters at the moment. But you know, I didn't get any timeline or like, you know, you have to do this else. No, not. I didn't have any discussions about that with the board.
What do you make of that, Gordon?
Yeah, he's very confident that he can turn it around. Of course, he's going to say that. He's got to say that. He's in a really pressure situation now. For me, he's game to game. You look at tomorrow night, for instance. If he had to drop any points, I think that there'd be no coming back for him. He's got to win the two games coming up against St Mirren at the weekend as well. Hard game against Hearts tomorrow night. Try and take a deep breath. World Cup. Try to reorganise and then kick on from there. And I think he will be given that time, Gordon. But if he do lose anything between now and Saturday night, then I think he's in trouble.
Have to agree with that. I think tomorrow night's huge. We jointly said, but it might be right that where would you rather play tomorrow if you're Rangers, if you're Van Bronckhorst? Because there is a feeling about the club within the supporters that it's too late. The decision should have been made. And that's going to be a tough environment for the team to go out and perform, and especially for the manager. They're standing the touchline. If things don't go right early on in the game, then there are going to be grumbling, and that can be incredibly difficult to play in. Whether if you went away to Tynecastle and you just go and go at it, it maybe be a bit easier, but no doubt about it, huge one tomorrow night for the Rangers manager.
So no talks with the board, and confident he can turn it around. What do you make of those comments, Rangers fans? Let us know right now. Williams, first up, how do you feel about hearing that, William?
Yeah, hello, Gordon and Mark. Yeah, well, my question, I don't know how to feel, but my question is to Mark and Gordon, right? Do you think the players have chucked it, or do you think it's the manager's fault totally? Because I don't totally blame the manager. I think watching the games, especially on Sunday, you can tell, well, the first, I don't know how many corners, so maybe they're trying, but some of them are definitely no gain 100%. I think personally, 75% of them have chucked it. They're either trying to get rid of the manager or they're low in confidence. I just don't know. I want to get the panel's opinion on that, please.
Well, my opinion, I said it's up to the manager to inspire players, get them up for a game, get them out there, get them ready for it, get them organised. And then when that happens, it's up to the players to take that on board. I said the other night there, and Andy gave me a bit of stick for it, that I see Rangers players going back the way. I don't see any player just now that's playing to the real potential. You can make a case for Colak, for instance. He's come in first season, he's hit the ground running, scores goals. I watch guys like Ryan Kent every week playing with Rangers, and to this day now, I don't understand how he gets a jersey. I really don't. I don't. I know that people say, well, his stats can buy. For me, he offers nothing. He's a guy that I look at thinking, you're running your contract down, which is fine. I've not got a problem with that. If that's what he wants to do, he's entitled to do that. There's no problem. But he's offered nothing. I see guys like, who I really rate, and I think he gets a real hard time off the Rangers supporters, is Captain Tavernier. Last year, he was absolutely brilliant. His confidence is down a little bit. Still pops up with a goal on Sunday. Wasn't good enough. You look at Lindstrom, for instance. I think he's probably well below par. I think Morelos has been an absolute disgrace. I really do. Just the way it's planned out the full season for him so far. I look at the signings. They're not inspiring me. So I feel a little bit for a manager, because I don't think it's everything should be put at his door. Ross Wilson's there as part of that. He'll be a massive part in the recruitment with the manager. Of course he will. But I just think that Rangers players are well underperforming for me just now.
Do players chuck it, Mark, or is the manager not getting the best out of them? What's the...
Yeah, I never liked the term chuck it. Because I think we've discussed this before. Players don't go on the pitch and go, you know what, I'm not going to try here because I want this guy out.
It also doesn't do you any favours. Of course, I don't mean to boil it down to be too simple, but win bonuses or new contracts or just suitors from just elsewhere, standing, professional pride.
Just your standing with the fans. So if that manager goes, if Van Bronckhorst goes, the fans still remember you as somebody that chucked it. So I don't believe players do that. What I do think is what Daz says, it is up to a manager to inspire. And I often think, with real top teams, I think players have a fear factor of their manager. Now, people might say, oh, no, that's days gone by and that's dinosaur stuff. I still think there's a fear factor when the top managers can control their team and get the best out of them, because the players do not want to let them down, because if they let them down, they're easily replaced. I look at that Rangers side just now and I see players that look like they're just shrugging their shoulders because they know really they're never going to get replaced. You know, Morelos might be the exception. He's shrugged his shoulders too many times. He's found himself replaced with Čolak. But when you're wanting a tune at him when it's not gone well and you put him on, he's the kind of player it's taken off. Kent is the opposite. He keeps churning at the same performances. And what's it matter? Because there's nobody ever going to replace him. You could go to Barisic, who did get replaced, but now he finds himself in a fortunate position that he can underperform and he's still in. So I don't think there's that fear factor from the players that they actually know they have to perform and win to keep their place, because it's never going to change. And that becomes, I think, worrying for the manager.
I think he's lost a bit of character about it, Gordon, as well. I really do. I look at this Rangers side and I don't see anybody driving on. They're working for each other. You go on, and I'm not picking, I hate picking in players, but I'm just using an example here at Kent, for instance, right? I think he's a talented boy. He's offered nothing this season. Matt's correct. If Kent was at Celtic just now, putting the performances in, he wouldn't get a look in. But he's guaranteed a game every single week with Rangers. And I think that's what the fans' frustration is as well. They know that the guys have got talent. Of course they have. They've shown that in the past. But they're not producing it.
Bottom line from the manager today, William, he hasn't had talks with the board. He believes he's the man to turn things around. Can you get behind that?
No, well, that was going to be my other point. See that board, see the fans groups. No, we need to get rid of every one of them. It's their fault. No, I mean, they don't come out. You made a point yesterday. They don't come out and tell you anything. They don't even come out and tell you who's injured, or where the money is, or who's going to do this. Who's going to go into the club? Investors. They're so silent. It's unbelievable. The man, the chairman. What's his function? I heard yesterday was even at the game on Sunday. Is that true? If that's true, that's an absolute disgrace. You know what I mean? I don't like to swear. I feel like swearing. You know what I mean? But that whole board, see when that AGM comes up, they need to be voted out. Every one of them, because they're not doing their job properly. They're not functioning. They're not fit for purpose.
Thank you, William. Let's go just along the road. Billy's in Clydebank. Today's development, if you like, Billy, is that clip we just played. No talks with the board, and Gio believes he can turn it round. Do you believe that? Do you buy into that?
Absolutely not. I think Giovanni's lost the dressing room totally. I think the players that come out on the park just aren't playing for Giovanni at all. I don't know if it's training or his tactics or what's happening, but to me the players just don't want to play Week in, week out, the fans are left guessing who's going to start, who's going to start. You've got your main starts, Tavernier and all the rest, McGregor, Kent and all that, but you just don't know from week to week. He's not got an actual solid side. He keeps changing and all the rest of it. And there was a point on Sunday, I've not got Sky or nothing like that. I was just watching the highlights on the telly. And they panned round at one point to Giovanni, and he was actually, he shrugged his shoulders and put his hands up as if to say, well, what? You know, and that was when St. Johnstone were 2-0 up. To me, that, as a manager, if you put your, shrug your shoulders and put your hands up, what's that telling the players?
Yeah, I always think you tread carefully to a point, Mark. Everyone pretends they're body language experts. However, to then contradict that, I've seen a lot of people comment on the fact that he looked bruised at best, beaten at worst on Sunday.
I would agree. I don't often buy into it myself, but it is getting to the stage now when the camera pans to Van Bronckhorst on the sidelines. He looks almost detached from his actual team. Now, I know people say, oh, stop comparing to Celtic. When you look, but it's only natural to compare to the other side of the city. When you look at Ange Postecoglou standing that touchline, he looks totally connected to what his squad's doing. He looks totally assured that what his team's carrying out is what he's told them. When the camera pans right to Van Bronckhorst, it couldn't be more different. You know, and Billy's right. I remember there was a shrug. There was a, like, what am I supposed to do here? It doesn't look good. And when the results are going as bad as they are and the performance are, then fans do see that, and fans go, well, who's running things here and who's getting the best out of these players?
Why can't he turn it round, Billy? We actually had a lot of support for the manager on last night's show, talking about injuries playing a big part, talking about the points gap, the European final last season and all that sort of stuff. Why have you not got as much faith?
Well, it's just basically it's the performance this year. I mean, we're only talking 5 months here. They were in the Europa final. They were in the Scottish Cup. And since the start of the season, none of that's mattered. I mean, we've just not had a consistent run of good games. But for the odd game, you know, Aberdeen, we beat 4-1 and we've won this and over. But there's no being a consistency. And I think it's just down to the manager. I don't know if... To me, as if he doesn't know the next step. He took out last year 7 points ahead of Celtic. This year, he's 7 points behind Celtic. And to me, it doesn't seem as if he's going to do anything different.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of this to and froing on these phone lines and on social media today, Gordon. People pointing out that's the only domestic league game he's lost apart from Celtic. Was that St Johnstone one at the weekend? It's the only one he's lost, and therefore is that enough to get you sacked? But then, as Billy said, talking about the point swing last season, I think if you look at the 2022 as a calendar year, then he's on a lot less points than Celtic would be. You get any faith he turns it round from here?
Yeah, it's only a personal opinion. I hope he gets time this season to try and turn it round, Gordon.
I mean, that's you talking, you know, as a kind human being. I want your prediction. Do you think he can turn it around?
Yeah, but I think it's got to take a massive job for him. There's no doubt, and he'll need a little bit of luck on the way like everybody else. Billy's saying about his loss to dressing room. The biggest problem, I don't buy into that loss of dressing room, because see if you're playing with a club the size of Rangers with 50,000 people sitting there tomorrow night, it doesn't matter if you like the manager or not, you've got a personal responsibility to go out there and play as well and try as hard as you possibly can, because supporters are paying good money, it's a club the size of Rangers. I think the problem he's lost is he's lost the faith of a lot of the supporters. And when they turn against you, and we've all been there, whether it be a big crowd or a small crowd, it becomes very difficult. And as I say, he's in a terrible position just now as a manager. He's on a game-to-game basis. If he lost tomorrow night at home to Hearts, I'll guarantee you this show will be queuing up.
I just wonder, though, if we're throwing these phrases about. Everybody kept saying he was in a game-to-game basis on Friday and Saturday, and then he lost, and now he's telling you he's not had discussions with the manager. So you can't keep saying that until you're proven right.
As a manager, if he has had the discussions, he might just be keeping that close to his chest, Gordon. He's maybe not giving that. I think what the Rangers board are going to do, and the manager, is they'll probably get by Saturday. They'll sit down, they'll discuss where they are, and then if there's a decision to make, then it's the timing to go and do it then.
Thank you, Billy. What do you think? You lot listening along, are you angry at what you're hearing? Are you agreeing with what you're hearing? Pick up the phone and let us know. We'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here, both waiting for you to get in touch though with your thoughts on any of the big talking points of the day. It does seem like that defeat in Perth is still in the minds of Rangers fans, and of course back to action tomorrow night as well. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst speaking today. We let you hear it in the first part of the show. No discussions have been held with the board, and he's confident he can turn things around. He's also now saying it hurts him that he's been unable to deliver recent success, but he says his love for the club will spur him on.
It's difficult when you are doing all you can to bring success to a club and you don't bring it, or at least at the moment, and then success, I mean with wins. You know, that's very disappointing because you don't want to disappoint any people or anything what you love. You know, I love Rangers, I love this club, I love everything this club embodied, but you know, to be not able to get the wins, you know, it's first of all quite disappointing for me, to disappoint my fans, to disappoint my players, you know, everyone involved with Rangers. That's not a nice feeling to have. So you know, I'm trying to reverse that feeling.
What do you think, Phil, in Bishopton? How would you sum up the situation at the moment?
I think the weekend was a tipping point for me. To be honest, I think Van Bronckhorst will be away by Saturday evening. I can't see how he's going to turn this situation around at Rangers. I'm thinking about who's going to take over from him. And I've also got a wee point about recruitment. Yeah. Like Gordon was
talking. Just before that then, so you don't, you know, a win tomorrow doesn't change anything then though? You think it's done?
I think so. To be perfectly honest, I'm nowhere near 100% we can win tomorrow. On recent performances and what we've done this season, Hearts going well. I don't see it. Probably Andy Halliday will come on and score against us.
What do you mean, come on?
I'd have scored an own goal and give you a let off. It depends, Gordon. Look, there was a similar, although not as bad, obviously, because results have got worse since then, similar discussion going into the Aberdeen game. And then what sometimes happens with that is Aberdeen come full of belief and, you know, go nice and attacking, and Rangers end up winning comfortably. So Phil doesn't think tomorrow changes anything anyway. What's your take?
I think if he gets 3 points tomorrow, 3 points Saturday, I think they can take a deep breath and then plan for after World Cup, Gordon. I think he will be given that time if he gets the 6 points. If he's not, I agree with Phil, I think Saturday night he'll be on his way. There's no doubt. It's alarming how his sort of reputation's went downhill. You know, if you'd have said anything 3 months on this programme against the Rangers manager, we'd have been inundated with people having a go at us. Now the Rangers fans, big majority of them, have made up their mind about the manager. They want a new manager in to try and kick it on. I just think that, you know, I would like him to be given every opportunity to try and show the Rangers fans that he can handle it.
Do you think the World Cup break, the return of injured players, can be enough to help save the manager, Phil, or does that become the right time to pull the trigger?
You get 5 weeks to get somebody else in and start working with the players, because Gio's been working with them for nearly a year now. I know we had a great run up till the end of last season, Europa League final, etc. But since then, I don't know. I don't know if he's lost the dressing room, but I agree with Gordon on this as well. Rangers players have went backwards. You could see some Rangers players under Gerrard had improved. Under Gio, it's just not happening.
I'm fascinated by the scheduling this season, Mark, and what impact it has, because if you get to that break, it gives you 5 weeks and you can get players back and you get players on the training field and maybe work on your ideas and use that as a time to improve. But if you are going to change your manager at some point, this is not just Rangers, by the way, if you're going to change your manager, it's going to need to be at the start of that. You can't then have a manager who goes 5 weeks, then comes into a transfer window. I mean, how many games do you even play between coming back and New Year? Four, maybe?
Maybe, I think, yeah. So
how would you... Do you then pull the trigger at that point? Like I said, I'm not even necessarily specifically on on the Rangers manager. That would apply for anyone, but since Phil makes the point.
Look, I think the Rangers board, their mind will be pretty much made up already, I think. Whether the only thing, maybe a defeat, then it happens before Saturday, tomorrow night. But I think Phil makes a good point in terms of the players. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst and his coaching staff have had a year to work with the players. Now, I know the run to the Europa League final was, you know, celebrated, and rightly so, it should be. And there was some big performances in there, but domestically, the performances for the players have went backwards, and it's their most saleable assets that have went backwards. I always think that's a dangerous thing when your top stars, who you look to make money, and it's not down to Van Bronckhorst, because the contract situation with Morelos and Kent should have been tied up, but when they're pairing them with poor performances as well, you're in a spot of bother. So I think Rangers fans are right to look at that and go, well, if these guys have went backwards, and you're probably talking about the majority of the squad, can you think of any that's actually got better from last year's squad?
That's why I come in for some criticism, because I just see
that was good though, when that guy came brilliant. And criticised you. That's my favourite call of the year.
It's actually my favourite as well, because the only sense he spoke was saying that I was crap. But I've got to say, at the end of the day, I still think that this was a manager that was lauded, Gordon. Yes, things aren't going well. I don't think they will pull the trigger. I think if he can get by tomorrow and Saturday, I think what they'll do is give him a bit of breathing space and just say to him, look, we need to kick on from there. And then the most important thing after that's the January transfer window.
It's not all about the manager, though, Phil. I'm sure everyone acknowledges that. So what else is on your mind?
Again, going back to recruitment, I don't see that Gio's had much input into a lot of the recruitment that's happened recently. Over the other side of the city, Ange Postecoglou comes in from managing in Japan, knows Japanese players, and he's brought in a few of them. You're not telling me that Gio Van Bronckhorst, Dave Voss and Ron Mackay don't know a few good young Dutch players that they could have brought in? I think Rangers have been sitting with piles on the players they have brought in, and that's been it. I honestly don't think Gio's had a lot of input on who's been signed.
What do you think, Mark? I mean, we'll obviously never know, so you speculate to a point.
No, of course you don't know for certain, but it certainly looks that way.
I think they did have some Dutch targets or names that were bantered about in the summer just because you didn't get them.
But has that come from the media because they're just putting two and two together, or is that actual genuine targets? I mean, the ones that were brought in, like Cholak's probably been the only success, really, within that.
Cut Tom Lawrence some slack.
Probably, but we've not seen an awful lot of him. It always fascinated me, after they qualified and after the window slammed shut, Van Bronckhorst came out and says, I'm okay with my squad, this is fine for me. And he sort of, did we believe that? But I didn't really believe that. I thought he probably was pushing for more players and he was restricted. So maybe you can cut him a bit of slack in that. But still, when you're handed these new kind of roles in football where the coach is the coach and that's his job, to get the team on the pitch and get the best out of them, you sometimes just need to go on with it and just make the best out of the players you're given.
In the comparison with Celtic and Ange Postecoglou is a tricky one, Gordon, because yes, he clearly identified a lot of the players because he worked in Japan and they've been, for the most part, very successful. Celtic don't have a director of football. In fact, the situation with the chief executive was in a bit of flux when Ange Postecoglou came in. Now, I don't know if that's fortunate timing, where that then just allows Ange Postecoglou to have more control than he otherwise would. Look, that's not to take anything away, but you know, Rangers have that structure and Celtic don't. And in the future, Celtic might have a director of football or a sporting director.
The only thing I will say, I totally agree. I think Ange Postecoglou controls a massive part of what happens at Celtic. But Van Bronckhorst would have been told that, Gordon. See, when you bring a manager in, you tell him the structure of the club. I don't think Van Bronckhorst has got the majority of say in the signings, right? I really don't. I could be wrong.
But he must have the final say. I've seen a lot of this stuff. Surely it's overstated, right? Because I keep hearing people saying, I mean, you're not telling me Gio's had watched Tom Lawrence. Surely the way it works is Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, in conjunction with his recruitment staff and his analysis staff, have a profile of a player that he wants, right? He wants a whatever it is, a forward-thinking wing-back who puts X amount of crosses into the box, who's a certain age profile, who has X amount of entries into the final third or whatever, they go away, work on their database, produce this list, and you see who you can get. I mean, that's going to be pretty common at clubs all around the world now, is it not?
No, listen, you just need to... You need to go to clubs in England. There's a certain club in the English Premier League. The manager's been basically told, you're a coach, we'll bring you the players, you do what you have to do. Look, we don't know what goes on inside, but what I'm saying is it's not the same structure as you said about Ange Postecoglou, because these signings have got Postecoglou written all over them. I don't know if the same signings at Rangers at Ibrox has got Van Bronckhorst written all over.
All right, thank you, Phil. That's some interesting stuff. Let's bring in David in Motherwell and see how he feels. What's happening, David? How do you sum it all up?
Well, I think there are a couple of points, really. The players have their part to play in it. You know, the manager's there to put the team on the park. But, you know, I've watched Rangers the last couple of weeks and they don't seem any focus on the job they're doing. You know, I think Gordon mentioned about Kent. You know, it blows hot and cold. I haven't even bothered signing him again. And my other point as well is that you look at the amount of injuries we've got this season. Is there something going wrong with the training that they're doing that they're picking up so many injuries? You know, it's, to me, I think you've got to look at the simple things. First of all, the board will not get rid of Van Bronckhorst because it'll cost them too much money. It'll just put them deeper into debt. You know, in my opinion, I don't know what the panel think.
Oh, Mark, this is where everyone gets their calculator out and becomes an expert. But most people feel there should still be money from a Europa League final, Champions League, and sales of Patterson, Bassey, and Aribo. And if the squad wasn't given the appropriate amount of money, surely that money can be left if you do need to pull the trigger on a manager.
Of course, no, I don't think that'd be a problem. I think they'd have the finances if they wanted to part company and sorting Van Bronckhorst's staff and then getting someone else in, because it's such an important position to hold at the club, obviously. In terms of the players' training, look, things that you hear, bits and bobs that we'll hear coming out, you know, Rangers, is that the training intensity maybe isn't as high as it was under Steven Gerrard. Now, that would then lead you to think the opposite, that it's usually this high intensity training that people start pointing injuries. Klopp got the blame of it. Ange Postecoglou got the blame of it. Look, it might just be bad luck. Suter was injury prone when he came in, and it's unfortunate.
Kamal Roof had injury problems as well before
Roof
he arrived,
had injury problems. Now, there is the exceptions, of course. Yilmaz comes on, he hadn't played a lot of football, and then he's thrust into a couple of games. Maybe these things happen. But the bottom line is, yes, he's been unfortunate with injuries, but he's still got a good enough squad, a big enough squad, to go and win at places like St Johnson. So, you know, the point now, think, oh, if we had a full squad, we wouldn't be in this position. Well, you've got a much better squad than 90% of the league.
I mean, it would still certainly help, wouldn't it? If you're in a situation where you've got a midfielder and an 18-year-old who probably needs taking out the firing line as your central defensive pairing.
Look, I was critical, you know, when James Sands played at centre-back at the start and then, you know, inundated with... Remember the caller had all the stats in Sands as a centre-half? And he showed he could play that position. Maybe beside Goldson. Goldson's a big one, right? I think Rangers are missing at the minute. I think Goldson, you know, he's not been the player that he was probably a couple of seasons ago when Rangers won the league, but he's still by far the best defender the club's got. And I think he controls a lot what goes on round about him in terms of Tavernier in the left centre half and the midfielder in front of him. I think when you've taken him out the team, you not only see the quality players disappear, but the actual leader. And I know Tavernier wears the armband, but I think a lot is down to Goldson.
I don't buy that in the domestic. I know what you're saying, Gordon, and it's a good argument saying, well, centre half, that Sands playing in there, midfield player, King, whatever. But if you look at the overall teams, for instance, Livingston at home. Now, you can play King and Sands at centre half, because you're playing with Rangers, you're playing against Livingston, so you must be better than what the Livingston players are. You're surrounded with international footballers, full of talent. Yes, they've got injuries, and every manager would love a full-strength squad. But when you're playing Livingston and St Johnstone, I think that the squad that Rangers had and the team that they put out for both games should be well capable of winning
them. How does this play out from here, David, then?
I think, my final say on it, I think it's to be honest with you, it's a poor show in Scottish football. You know, and yeah, Celtic's doing well now, but you look at the Champions League, you know, miles apart. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Van Bronckhorst. I think Gordon mentioned it earlier. The guy's credibility doesn't just change overnight like that, causing a couple of bad runs. Await me bated breath. I would love to see Rangers lifting the league this year. But if I'm honest, I can't see it.
Well, time will tell. Thank you, David Motherwell. Good time to get your calls in. We'll get travel news and you could be up next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Keep the calls coming. Have your say on the week's or the day's biggest talking points. It's been fairly busy on the Rangers front on the back of Giovanni Van Bronckhorst speaking today. A big game tomorrow, that defeat at the weekend. Let's bring in John, who's a Rangers fan. What's on your mind tonight, John?
I'd like to know what system they play. Gordon, tell me what system Rangers play.
Come on, answer the man.
Well, they normally play a 4-3-3, don't they?
Is that what you call it?
No, I think that's
a bit clueless to me, to be honest with you. It looks as if it's just a
stop a minute, John.
You're talking about Daz's face,
why
or
why are you picking
he
on me?
He does look clueless.
Yeah,
he's not picking on you. He said it looks a bit clueless.
I've had enough of John's and Andy's.
I think Mark and I think he might have been talking about you, but I'm sure he was talking about the Rangers system, John. You think it looks clueless? Yes.
Wait a minute, before I get anywhere. Daz, you had a wee success as a manager. The other one is clueless because he's no successful as a manager.
I'm liking you really, John.
John, back to your team, John.
What system's your team playing, John?
Nobody likes a sook, John.
I was a 3-5-2 myself, and if I get the job at Ibrox, that's what I'll be playing, John.
Oh,
you know, entertaining
that.
Attractive football.
We've had David Martindale last night, and we've gone to Gordon. No, I can't even do it.
There's
I can't
no
even
way
see
am
it.
I taking him with me.
Right, seriously, there have been question marks all along.
Mm-hmm.
Or for a while, certainly, about the style of play. Did we see again on Sunday the issues with that for a lot of people?
Yeah, people are questioning everything. They're questioning the train, they're questioning the style of play.
Specifically on that, what did you make of it?
The style of, I thought, to be honest with you, first 15, 20 minutes, they were going to absolutely run over the top of St Johnstone. And when they didn't get that goal, hit the bar, whatever, then obviously St Johnstone grew into the game. It doesn't, right now for me, the biggest problem is individual players. As much as you can look at systems, they're out there. Kent can play wide left. Sakala can play wide right. You've got Lindstrom in the middle of the parts, can play in the middle of the parts. So they've got players that can play in those positions. It's individually, I think Rangers are really struggling.
You're cutting the manager a lot of slack with that, though, you know, because I feel like that undermines a lot of fans who phone in here and say, they're paying their money, they're going to the game, and all they're seeing is the ball going out wide and getting crossed into the box. So are you letting the manager off with all of that and putting it all on the players?
I think it's a 50-50, Gordon. I think the manager does take responsibility. Of course, one, he picks the team. Secondly, he gets the system. Thirdly, he can change that at any time he wants. He's got players at his disposal. But for me, the bigger picture is the way the players are going about their business. I don't see one Rangers player, apart from, I'm taking Colock out of the equation here, playing with any confidence, joy, believe in themselves, happiness, you going and playing football.
Can a manager instill that stuff in you if he gives you a style of play that helps you flourish?
But why is the players, it's not like, how many players did you look at the other day there and say they've been played out of position?
Apart from the centre half, two very different things. Just because you're being played in your right position, as in where you stand when the game kicks off, that doesn't mean you're being set out in a style that helps your team have the best chance of winning. That's completely different.
I don't think Van Bronckhorst sets him out in a style to go and get beat with St Johnstone. I think he sets him out in a style.
How bad is he putting words in people's mouths and missing the point?
To get on the front foot,
I'll put it very bluntly.
Right.
Does Giovanni Van Bronckhorst have an effective style of play at the moment?
No.
There we are, John.
Hey,
tell
John,
him.
He wasn't talking to you. Stop banging.
I'm telling you, he's no got. I've not seen. Listen, I watched. I watch it, right? And I'll tell you right now, man, but against Napoli, Lundstrom was playing at right back and Tav was a forward with further forward with him. On Sunday, he took Davis off, obviously due to injury. And I'll tell you what, we lost the second goal because nobody knew what was going on. And as for St Johnstone rode their luck that many times, it was unbelievable. So, no, I mean, we should have buried the game. I don't care what MD says, but what, the two shots of goal, spent their time wasting time. So, I mean, David Levan, it doesn't really, you know what I mean, but he made a substitution, of course, as a second goal. They made the job harder. And it doesn't speak up as if we've no money. As far as I'm concerned, the board spend more time fighting people than talking to us or helping us. They're putting a game there, a friendly, that's taking more money off us. Do you know what I mean? And they don't want to answer to anybody but spend time fighting everybody. So, and the manager's got to take responsibility for standing up. Turning came out and saying, and Atfield's come out and said they didn't do any training. They spent more time in ball work. Well, we were the fittest team last year. We were the fittest team and we looked a yard slow.
I'm just surprised, Mark Wilson, that a guy who undeniably would have taken all the credit for everything he ever did as a manager and wouldn't have given any credit to his players is now blaming solely the players for the way that a style of football's played.
It's a cop out.
Just surprised.
Daz over there, yeah.
Maybe he's Gio's pal.
He is. Sounds like it. Look, the manager has to take an equal portion because, look, yous are right. The style of play, you can set it in a formation, you know, any formation. But if the same kind of patterns keep happening within that formation, then you'd go, well, the players have obviously been instructed. Anytime it gets near Tavernier on the right-hand side, he flips in the box, same with Barisic. And you go then, well, you've got to have numbers in the box to affect that. Rangers clearly don't. So it's not working. But there's no variation. They keep playing that way until the end of the game before it's too late. And sometimes you'll get against Aberdeen that it works and you get bodies in the box. Against St Johnson, teams like that lap that up who defend their box well.
Thank you, John. Let's squeeze in Colin before the news as well. Colin, what's your take on things?
Hi. Well, I listen to you every night and people asking what's happened, has he lost the dressing room, stuff like that. Well, I'd heard from a good source that when they played in Ajax the first game, and I think it was 3-0 at half time. Hello?
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm just hanging on for the rest of the story, right, Colin. I'm looking forward to it.
So the Tavernier and a couple of senior players went up to Van Bronckhorst and said the tactics weren't working, and he said that he was changing nothing, and apparently him and Tavernier had a bit of a set too, and that was the reason why Tavernier didn't appear for the second half.
Oh, I love a good rumour on this show. You're not able to tell us who your source is, Colin, are you?
Well, Tavernier from someone who knows a player within Ibrox.
Oh, this shows
it's
like
it's mysterious.
Shows like this were made for dressing room rumours. Well, he's not going to burn his source, is he?
He's got to.
This is high level intelligence.
So wait there a minute. Right, so Tavernier and a couple of the senior players were telling Van Bronckhorst to change it, which he says he's not changing anything. But then he changed Tavernier and changed
but
the
because
system.
They had a set too.
I fell out with him.
It was
so
a
why
punishment.
Did he change the?
So a source. It's a source. It's all down to that.
So you think that's where it's going wrong, Colin?
Definitely, yes.
There we are, Mark. You heard it. You won't be laughing if that turns out to be true.
No, I won't be, because who knows what happens behind closed doors?
Like, I've
been in plenty of dressing rooms where there is plenty of fights goes on, and you know, you listen to shows like this, and the rumor comes out, and you go, "Well, that's pretty close to what happens."
Exactly.
Who knows? Who knows? That might be true, but look, you can actually say that. Things don't seem right between the manager, the players, the staff. It doesn't look a happy place to be working at the minute, whether that's the players on the pitch, the way they're playing, the manager on the touchline when the camera pans round to him, post-match interviews, fans having a go at their captain outside the ground. It is not a happy place to be playing your football at the minute.
Colin, you've dropped that bombshell on us right at the last minute. I'm already out of time. I'm going to make sure Gordon DL goes and checks out that rumour during these. Thank you, Colin.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, it's Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to embarrass Gordon DL or Mark Wilson. It doesn't usually take much effort, so if you fancy it tonight, 0141 951 1025, and the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Keep the calls coming in. So much been said about Rangers already, so you're more than welcome to add to it. If you want to change the subject, talk about your own team, or another team I should say, please do it now. 0141 951 1025. We'll hear from Ange Postecoglou if that tickles your fancy, straight after this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
The Pundits are up and running for a new week, I'm afraid. Pains me to say it, Kenny Miller. Got a wee victory last night.
Easy, was it?
Good, was it 3-1 good. Or something like that? 3-4-1, something like that. To be fair, usually you can rely on either of you two to make a mess of it on a Tuesday.
This boy here beside me has been struggling a little bit. I'm trying to...
Aye, my form hasn't been great.
You were lucky even to get one last week, and it was only because you played in the game.
You've not been great either though, have you?
No. Yeah, I've been doing okay.
But you did lose on your last outing, yeah?
I did.
Oh good, you're under pressure then. James is in Falkirk. How's it going, James?
Not bad.
Have you ever played before?
No, never.
Lovely.
Three a few times.
Do you usually do okay playing at home?
Depends.
Well, that's as good an answer as any. I feel like the questions were quite tough last night. Let me quickly look through these.
Tough.
A little bit. Let's toss the coin. Heads, it's Mark. Tails, it's Gordon DL. And it is tails, it's Gordon DL taking on James from Falkirk.
Got off lightly, James.
All the best, Jimmy.
He's speechless. Right, you ready? Give you some Clyde too. Make sure you can't hear us. 30 seconds on the clock, James. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know, okay?
Yep.
Right, good man then. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. In any of Celtic's goal scorers against Dundee United at the weekend?
Jota.
Who was the Rangers manager the last time St Johnstone beat them in the league?
Walter Smith.
Which Premiership club has a goal difference of zero?
St Johnstone.
Who's got more league goals, Bojan Miovski or Lauren Shankland this season?
Shankland.
Name any of the Premiership players to be named in the Australian World Cup squad.
Moye.
Well, who's top of League One in Scotland?
Pat.
Okay, let's bring Gordon back. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can, loud and clear.
Same set of questions. You ready?
Go.
You need to be at it.
I'm at it.
Name any of Celtic's goal scorers against Dundee United at the weekend.
Hadza Banovic.
Who was the Rangers manager the last time St Johnstone beat them in the league?
Paul again.
Which Premiership club has a goal difference of zero?
Zero. Dundee United.
Who's got more league goals this season, Bojan Miovski or Lauren Shankland?
Shankland.
Name any of the Premiership players named in the Australian World Cup squad.
Devlin.
Who is top of Scottish League One?
League One.
Hurry up.
Queen's Park.
I hate that when he does
that's
that.
Shocking.
Dunfermline.
Queen's Park aren't even in League
Dunfermline.
One.
Dunfermline.
Well, too late, he said Queen's
no,
Park.
No, I take that back.
Taking it back.
Who is top of League One, you say?
It's Dunfermline.
Do you know what I love about that, right? Everybody knows that's like the most primary school delay tactic where you repeat the question to give you.
It's and what's Dunfermline. Worse,
that's a man who's done that before. Where have I been? Who was it with?
See that?
What's that stain on my collar?
See, that's just cost me.
James, what do you think?
I don't know. It depends if it's your first or last answer.
No, don't you worry. He's not getting that. But James, I must admit, right, it's an uphill battle for you as a Celtic fan when you've said that Jota scored at the weekend and he didn't. You'll be kicking yourself. Haksabanovic, Kyogo or Abada. It's a tough start, James. It's a tough start, I must say.
I didn't do well after that.
No, you didn't. You really didn't. Graham Murty was the Rangers manager last time St Johnstone.
Oh, we were just speaking about him. Listen, if he can't get himself a goal scorer, wee Jimmy's no getting Murty.
The league table is right behind you for the goal difference. Tell me who's got a zero.
Hearts.
It's Hearts. So it's 1-0.
Jimmy didn't get that.
Yeah, he did not. Bojan Miovski's got 10. Shankland's got 9. You both went Shankland. You were both wrong. It's 1-0.
No standard, this.
I'm still in the lead. I'm okay with this.
1-0 after 4 questions.
That's good.
Do you know what I'm annoyed at, James? Really annoyed, because you got this one. You got Aaron Moy. We were just speaking about Cammy Devlin during the break, and I think that's how. And he didn't know.
Yeah, I did.
You didn't. You sounded surprised when we said he was in the squad.
Hold on a minute. Is Devlin in the squad?
Yes.
2-1, Jimmy.
That's what I'm saying. We gave you it during the break. I wish I'd seen the questions. And who's top of League One? You got that wrong, though. You said Queen's Park.
Yeah, but Jimmy will not get that.
Jimmy did not get it.
See you later, Jimmy. How do you do usually, like Jimmy, in the house?
James,
yeah, no bad.
James sounded surprised. He sounded surprised that he didn't get the last one he passed. Of course he didn't get it, James.
You should have.
Oh,
done.
He's hung up. He's actually genuinely gone.
Jimmy's away. He's gone. Yeah. I love it when they come up. I usually do okay in the house.
No, I thought he was all right.
He was unlucky, but I should have tucked him away with Dunfermline.
He has genuinely hung up, gone. Not willing to take part in the post-match analysis.
I think his family sitting around the table there listening to Raiders disgusted.
Dinner time. Hang on.
Get to your kit.
Poor James.
You can't even get a Celtic question. He was at the game as well.
Good win that for you. I mean,
another one. Yeah. I had to fight. I had to scrap for that.
It's good though because
I'm proud of my performance.
Most of the other challenges you'll be doing this week have got stars and meals for camp up for grabs.
Listen, this guy next to me is a fruit nutcase. Are you talking about that one? About the one we're getting dressed up for?
No, I'm talking about uncanny resemblance between you and Chris Moyles.
Sorry,
I've never noticed that before.
Who's Chris Moyles?
How many meals are you bringing back to camp? That's what everyone wants to know.
I don't.
You look like Chris Moyles before he lost the weight.
I look like Martin Kemp.
He's not in it.
Martin Kemp.
Ah,
you also Fandu Bali.
You don't, but he's not.
What's
in it.
He got to do with anything?
That's who I look like.
No, you don't.
I don't look like Chris.
Who's told you that? Who's told you look like Martin Kemp?
A lot of people out there shouting, like Martin. I know, Asda. I get it all the time. It's incredible.
You look nothing like Martin Kemp.
I know you're a big fan.
I know you're a big fan of the show.
Yeah.
He does look like Chris Moyles.
100%.
See the hair. I've never seen two men with more identical hair. I'm serious.
I want to see the look of Chris Moyles.
Stephen Bissett sent me a message saying you look like him. My own mother sent me a message saying you look like him. Deadly serious.
By the way, there is a resemblance here. I think that's quite flattering because.
What are you talking about? Quite flattering.
Chris Moyles is like 40 odds. 40
Chris Moyles is 12 years younger than you, so you should take it.
But I'm a hunk. I'm getting a lot of compliments.
Never describe yourself as a hunk.
I'm the woman's.
Here's what it is, right? You've got the exact same hair and the exact same stubble. There's a sort of mouth similarity. He's not got the same beak as you, obviously.
That's handsome chap.
That's him there in his current state with a navy t-shirt on.
Yeah.
Absolutely no.
Look at the hair.
The hair's identical. Yours is a bit thinner. And that bald bit at the back of your head.
That's the same guy. It's the same guy.
Before he lost weight.
Is he? Oh, by the way, he's looking good.
I think that does look quite
you should be flattered at that.
He's 48. You got to take
There's a lot of people saying that I look like him.
At least four. He's
going to start coming in with the khaki t-shirt and that. The red trousers.
I only watch that celebrity, but I don't think I look like him.
You don't watch it?
No, never ever.
Well, you've never seen a single episode of it?
Years ago, but now I don't.
You're missing out.
I don't. No.
Do you watch at 9 o'clock? It's the only thing it's ever on at 9 o'clock at night.
I don't watch it. It's not my scene. I usually watch a nice movie, relax, stuff like that.
All right, okay. 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's hear from Ange. Ange Postecoglou, who has been speaking today ahead of that game tomorrow. Going to Motherwell. You two going, I take it? Yeah.
Yes.
Good, glad to hear it. So Ange Postecoglou says, you know, still a long way to go in the title race despite that 7-point lead. He says it's just about focusing on continually improving their own performance.
Yeah, focus is just to keep performing. If we keep performing as we have been, then, you know, the rest will take care of itself. But it's not a matter of taking confidence because of, you know, your ladder position, or because that would mean that if we weren't over the road, we wouldn't be confident. I think, you know, you have to be confident and have the self-belief whenever you play, particularly for this football club. So for us, what's important is, like I said, our performance levels. We had a really strong start to the season. Obviously, our results reflect that, but also our performances reflect that. Obviously, we've got to finish that off strong in these two games. And then, you know, there's still, two-thirds of the season to go. So there's plenty of football the other side of the break, including both cups. So, in terms of the domestic season, we've still got a long way to go.
Paul's a Celtic fan. Are you thinking that this gap is already too big, Paul? Have Celtic got it in the bag? Are you scared to have those thoughts? How do you feel?
Hey, hi, Gordon. Hi, Mark. Hi, Gordon. Hey, I'm no arrogant enough to think it's in the bag. I've supported the club for too long. I would, until it's done and dusted, I think that, I mean, Rangers have still got a lot of good players, let's be honest. I mean, they're not performing now, but they did get to that final last year. So I do think that we need to keep our head down and just bother about ourselves, kind of thing. I think that in another press conference today, Ange was saying that they've already done a lot of the work for bringing who we're going to bring in January, and even for next season. So I still think Celtic, if we concentrate on what we're doing, but I think that would, when we look at the missed chances in the Champions League, I think that we could do with bringing another striker in, and I also think that Celtic should take the next step and try to build the relationships between the two clubs, between Celtic and Rangers. And I think Celtic should go for a big Croatian striker that's scoring for Rangers now.
Wow! That's just the call I wasn't expecting. So Celtic should sign Antonio Colak, yes?
Yep.
Or try to?
Yep. Yes.
Things you never thought you would hear, Mark
that's
Wilson.
As big a compliment as you'll ever hear.
It's not one I expected tonight, I must admit.
No, I don't think so. No, Colak's doing well. I kind of see Ange Postecoglou going for him. Look, Postecoglou's done a remarkable job. You look at this season, I mean, 13 games so far, 46 goals, four, only 3 points dropped. To keep that going, to keep that progression going for the last season, is remarkable. And especially when you throw the Champions League into that, because the disappointment has came through some of those games. I know the fans all felt good about things and seen a progression and a style of play. No doubt the players would still be disappointed at losing those games. But what he did is he's built this squad that he can change six and seven players and not really have any ill effects. Now, the only one that he had that was obviously against St Mirren. But that was players underperforming. That wasn't to say his squad wasn't good enough. I know there was all those comments, oh, he can't change such and such for Moy and make all these changes. Carter Vickers can't miss out because Celtic are not the same without. But he's shown that that can be the case. And he's true to his word. What he said at the start of the season is that I've got a squad. No players will play 50-odd games. We will rotate them and change them a bit. And that's quite hard to do. But he's managed to keep everybody happy. And I think that's quite remarkable at this stage of the season. He's got two games, finished strong. They win those two. They can go to Australia, a happy bunch.
Forget that. Should Celtic try and sign Antonio Colak?
All day long. He'd obviously put a bit of pressure on Kyogo and Giacomo.
Seriously?
No.
Oh, right.
No.
Why not them?
I just don't
those
think
those days just gone.
I would never. No, I don't think it'll happen. No, but you know, Colak settled in at Rangers. Rangers would be devastated just now, the way he's obviously scoring goals in the return. But you go back to Celtic. I think that Mark's right. They're on the front foot. They're in a good place just now. You know, their signings have been excellent. You've got to say that a manager is judged on his signings. There's not many at all that Celtic fans are on here complaining about. And also, we get back to that we had the debate with the Rangers fan. I think it was John F. Paisley talking about style of play. You know his style of play, and everybody enjoys going along watching Celtic most of the time, the way they do play football. So just now, everything's rosy in the garden for them. And as I say, it heaps a little bit of pressure on Van Bronckhorst.
Just because every now and then random things happen in football, Mark, like the defeat at St Mirren, I guess the short term priority for Celtic right now is just making sure, as Gordon says there, you apply that pressure, you take care of your bit. There's no point in Rangers being in perceived crisis and a lot of noise being made about managers and so on if you then go and drop points against Motherwell because you were just a little bit slack or a little bit complacent tomorrow, and then, you know, the 7 points gets cut, and then that then feeds the other side of it. Well, we're not going to sack Giovanni Van Bronckhorst when we're only X amount of points behind. Doesn't strike you as being Ange's style to focus on what's happening elsewhere, but it's just a byproduct, isn't it?
No, well, you know, I think he's that driven, that focused as a man. What I hear from him after every single game, he doesn't really care about much outside noise. I would have always thought that impossible for a Celtic manager or a Rangers manager, because you do have to keep an eye on what your neighbours are doing to see where they're in the league and how things are progressing. But he has this drive to succeed with his ideas at this club that I do get the impression that he he's maybe one of the only ones that doesn't really pay much attention to what's going on. I think he'll be truly focused on the game tomorrow night. I think he'll be, you know, desperate for another win, and you finish off this group of games with, you know, what, 13 wins, 14 wins it would be in the first group of games. I think he'd be happy with that, and then he's got time to work. Paul makes a good point. I did read that as well today about the transfer window, that it was said that his business is done and he looks ahead to summer. That's a good place to be in when you're comfortable with your squad and you've got a fair idea who you want to bring in after Christmas, rather than, you know, you're chasing your tail. That means you can concentrate in the games in hand, because January is going to be a busy schedule for everybody. So they're in a good place just now, and if they don't get any injuries from now to those games in Australia, then he'll be happy.
Right, we can't let you go without testing it further, Paul. Seriously, you think that we're still in a climate where Celtic go and sign our current Rangers player?
No, this is where I think Celtic should take the next step, and Ross Wilson, the Rangers chairman. The reason why I'm saying that I think we should sign him is, see the amount of chances we created in the Champions League. I think a guy like that would have took a lot of the chances. And he's already scored against Rangers a couple of times. So, again, I think that he would be the ideal fit.
Well, there we go.
I thought Paul was actually joking when he says it. He's then backed up with his argument. Joe, that's a good player, but I don't know.
He's a good finisher, Mark.
He's a good finisher.
He's not the greatest link-up player in the world, but he's a good finisher. He's got a good instinct inside that.
What tax are you adding on for something like that? An extra 10 million on what he's actually worth?
Could you imagine Celtic come in and signed him, and Rangers fans would be incredible.
The Rangers fan that was shouting him on Sunday when he was handing his strip over, well, he wouldn't be bothered, would he? He was telling them where to go.
Anyway, it's certainly not a suggestion I expected, Paul. That is the beauty of this show, the beauty of live radio. You decide. So thank you very much to Paul. 01419511025. Twitter at Clyde SSB. Mixed reaction to you calling yourself a hunk on the show, I must admit.
I'm getting a lot of positive feedback.
Mixed? I'm surprised it's mixed. Well, no,
there'll be a lot of positive feedback out there.
People revolted at that.
Look, when you look after yourself the way I have, it's just rewards.
It's the Moyles here do it. It's the exact same. The stubble. See where I'm going?
He's not got the nose that just, I've got.
Nobody does. But I mean the rest
the implants, the jowls fixed.
Are they being done? They're already booked in.
Would you do that? Get a bit of cosmetic.
They're already booked in.
He's booked in to get his jowls fixed.
Yeah.
You're joking.
No.
Like a lift.
1 mil each side.
Like a chance.
Oh, wait till you see the new Dazzler.
This guy. I mean,
seriously, right? The last chance to go back on this. The nation is listening.
This is true. He told me
100% is getting picked in.
You're getting Phillips.
I'm getting just in there. They're dropping a wee bit. I feel it's the only way forward.
See how they're sagging down.
More than dropping a wee bit. He's like the Churchill dog. It's going to take more than 1 mil to fix that. Believe me. Anyway, we'll take more of your calls next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. See this show, by the way, honestly. I just looked to my left to my screen and said, right, who's calling in during the break? What will we get on? Is it Rangers fans, Celtic fans? Have we got any fans of the teams that are playing tonight wanting to get in touch? And it says, Rosie works for Generation Aesthetic Scotland, wants to talk to Gordon DL about his fillers.
Get rid of it.
No, because you just try and get a deal. No chance.
Well, Rosie's looking to use my personality.
Other aesthetic companies are available.
Phone me, Rosie.
I think she's going to say, you're beyond help. Don't do it. What is a man in his 60s wanting with filler in his face?
Look, just leave me alone. I'm happy by the way I'm going about my business. I'll be fine. You just look after yourself.
Where are you getting fillers?
So he's 1 minute he's Chris Moyles, now I'm getting more Boy George vibes.
Yeah. I'll be running about with my Katie.
Tattoos up the side of your head.
My Katie Price. And yeah, I'm getting a sleeve on.
Remember I had an obsession with Katie Price before?
No, what it was we found his Twitter account.
Oh, that was it.
For anyone who's just recently started listening to the show, this is because a couple of years ago we discovered Gordon DL had a secret Twitter account from years ago. Someone found it and it only followed one person, and it was Katie Price. Didn't follow anyone else. Didn't follow Clyde One Super Scoreboard or Motherwell FC,
yeah,
or anyone.
But in fairness to me, at that time I was a massive Peter Andre fan.
Oh, is that what it was? Right. 01419511025. We're about to speak to Dominic. Let me quickly give you tonight's teaser. Quite a tricky one from the pony, who wants you to name 10 active footballers. Well, I'd hope they were active, because... Oh, no, right, I see what he's doing here, right. 10 active footballers who've played in Scotland and they've got 50-plus caps for a nation that's qualified for the 2022 World Cup.
Ooh. Well, Cummings.
Think he's got over 50 caps?
Oh, sorry, Rob. I thought he had 50 games in Scotland. Right, sorry, 50 caps. Sorry, I wasn't listening.
I should inject some sense into your head. Please,
please listen carefully, right? Because a couple of things to consider when I look at the answers. Can you name 10 active footballers who've played in Scotland and they've got 50 caps for a nation that's qualified for the 2022 World Cup? That doesn't mean they're going to the World Cup.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Rogic wouldn't be one, would he?
He is
he
one.
Is, yeah.
Well done.
Okay. Yeah. But he's not gone, which is outrageous. Can I believe that?
Has FA Ambrose got over 50 caps?
He's not on the list. Have Nigeria qualified for the World Cup? I don't know, but he's not on the list, so.
I'd be disappointed if they're not. Off their strip. They've always got a good strip at the World Cup.
Nobody in England, are they? Let's go through the England squad. It's got to take a bit of time, right?
It doesn't need to be that they're going this time, though. Think about it. Like Tom Rogic.
Right, Defoe then. Does he get 50 caps?
Oh, yeah, that's quite
He's not an active footballer though, is he?
Oh,
is he not playing
close,
fives?
Close.
It's quite difficult, quite tricky.
That is a bit.
Yeah, Joe Hart.
Joe Hart, yes.
That's Joe Hart. It, yo.
Joe Hart, right. Okay.
Any more? We'll quickly move on. Want to take more calls?
Oh, no.
What do you mean?
I was going to go American there.
Yeah, that'd be good.
But they've all retired.
Yeah, don't bother. Right, I'll give you more thinking time. Let's bring in Dominic, who's a Celtic fan from Rotherglen. What's your point tonight, Dominic?
Hi, panel. Thanks for having me on. I just want the opinions on something. I made the exact same point last season on the show, and Hugh Keevan and Kenny Miller quickly shot me down. But there's a glaring difference between Celtic and Rangers, and it's that Celtic have got goals all over the park. Match winners all over the park. And I'm talking about left backs coming on and scoring winners. Morris Jens scoring overhead kicks. But even Ralston last season at Ross County, Carter Vickers at Ivers. We've got all of our wingers are chipping in. All of our bench warmers are coming on chipping in. We've got goals everywhere. Rangers don't have that. You can spend a full phone in listening to Rangers fans argue whether who should start between Cholak and Morelos and different types of Celtic. Celtic have got goals all over the park, and that's the difference between the two, and it's going to be massive, and that's why they're slipping away, and it's 7 points so early on, and I just want to see the panel think about
it. Is that the main difference, Mark, for you?
Well, of course, goals are always the main difference, how you win games, so I suppose it is a huge draw for Celtic.
In terms of the spread of them, I think, Dominic's.
Yeah, and you don't often... or you don't always have to rely on Kyogo or Giakoumakis to be your goal-getters. But like the wide areas for Celtic, I think over the last couple of years have been a huge plus for Ange Postecoglou. See, when you look at the numbers between Jota, Abada, Maeda, and particularly when they've chipped in with those goals compared to Kent, Sakala, even Arfield when he plays, Matondo this season, you know, it takes a lot of weight off of the main striker. Then you look at the backup in the midfield area and you've got goals from there. And even when Turnbull gets himself fit, he's always a reliable goal scorer. And then, like Dominic says, they chip in for goals through the back. Yeah, the spread of goals is certainly there for Celtic. But it's the style of play that allows them to create those chances as well. And it is a big difference. Rangers rely heavily on Cholak to get them out of hole. Morelos, for years, they've relied heavily on his return. So when they're off boil or off the boil, it's missing.
And now Haksabanovic got up and running at the weekend with a double.
Look, you look at the proof is in the dessert, Gordon. You look at the league campaign, 13 games, they're 14 already, goal difference. I think Martin makes a great point. If you're
goal scored,
goal scored, yeah.
sorry. Yeah, I think the Celtic have got more of a threat, especially, I think that's a great point in the wide areas. The goals from the Abada, Forrest has come on. Hagzabanovic has now joined in. Jota's obviously there as well. So they've got plenty of Maeda. They've got plenty of firepower. The two lads up front can score. You've got the O'Reillys, McGregors, Hatate can, and then they've got the danger for the back, Carter Vickers, that can, you know, Juranovic sometimes with a penalty kick. So, yeah, I think they've got good threat all over the pitch, Celtic. And that's where I think Rangers have let themselves down a little bit. They seem to depend on the Colak or an Arfield, who I'm a massive fan of, gets in behind, gets a goal, but they don't get enough from the wide areas in the midfield for me.
Do you have a favourite wide pairing, Dominic, or does it now not really matter so much because most of them contribute?
I would always play Abada and Jota, but the manager must be doing something, because when Abada is on fire, it gets unfairly dropped in my eyes sometimes. But what does he do? He comes back 2 weeks later, doesn't he salt? Does the damage again? Then you get Forrest, who might be at trial. He'll come on and score a hat-trick. They don't sulk. Whoever gets dropped, they come back in 2 weeks later when they get their chance, and every single one of them are chipping in. David Turnbull, for example, another one, he can be out and he'll just come in, he'll bang them in. All over the park, we're getting on mate and chipping in, and we've got match winners everywhere. For example, Taylor at Tynecastle. Just simple thing. We've got match winners all over the park.
Yeah.
And I think that's hard to compete with.
Maybe a debate we can have at greater length in the future. But are you a favourite too, if I forced you to pick?
Wide area for Celtic? Well, Jota, obviously.
Is he nailed on, actually, then? Is it the one other?
I'm taking a big liking to Hagzabanovic. I really am. I think he's got everything in his locker, and he's got his two goals at the weekend, which will obviously give him that confidence as well.
I agree with Dominic. I would go Abada and Jota. I think he's still got a lot to learn about her, but I think his return in terms of assists and goals is incredible for a young man.
Maybe revisit that one in the future. Thank you, Dominic. Any more on the teaser quick?
What about Kyogo?
No.
Arfield?
No.
Weatherspoon?
No.
Oh, I went down the Canada route.
You
there.
Did? You said that in Toronto there for a
minute. Maeda.
Moy.
Moy, yes. Maeda, oh, no.
Good shout. Good shout. Key?
Yep.
Ki-sung Young, yeah. Okay.
Right, I'll give you more thinking time. Two big games tonight, by the way. Livy Aberdeen. Is there a wee bit of added spice in that one? I was going to say keep an eye on the dugout, but Jim Goodwin's banned. But he'll probably just be sitting just behind the dugout. Him and our very own Marvin Bartley. Marvin, seen this?
No, what's happened?
Well, Marvin's gone on Sports Scene at the weekend, and he's suggested likely that Duke maybe dived to win Aberdeen a penalty. And Jim Goodwin's given it the... I'm not saying the compliance officer should look at that, but I mean, this is Jim Goodwin, of course, who got a ban for. He's questioning whether, you know, active coaches can be pundits. Can they say things like that if they're still involved? Well, so hopefully Marvin does join us tomorrow and he doesn't quit. But
see, be fair to me. Listen, they're both sides to one. I agree with Big Martin. It was a dive for me. There's no doubt in that, but I know Jim has got a fair point, because at the end of the day, he made a comment about a player and ended up with about a 20 game ban. But
Jim doesn't agree, actually, though. I think he thinks, or he's defended Duke as part in that.
Yeah,
I think it was a dive.
Aye, it was a dive.
Okay. All right, once we get over Goodwin v Bartley round one, it's a really fascinating game, both coming off the back of good wins on Friday night. You look at Aberdeen, in fact, you know, 7 points behind Rangers at the moment. It would be a chance to close up that gap, but you just can never write Livy off, can you?
I watched the game, as I say, I was in the Granite on Friday. I watched the game. Aberdeen, up until that penalty kick, right on half time, Hibs were far the better side. So they'll need to up their game. They come out in the second half, fair play to them, they get some terrific goals. But that'll be a difficult game at Livy tonight. And Ross County, after a great result against St Mirren, an informed St Mirren that everybody fancied, went behind twice, I think. They go to Hibs tonight, but you favour Hibs at home.
Yeah, Shamal George back in goal for Livy, Nicky Devlin, Obalai, Jack Fitzwater, Christian Montano, Sean Kelly, Jason Holt midfield, Bahambula, Pittman and Nubly attacking, with Bruce Anderson, the number 9, for Aberdeen. Kelleroos in goal. You put him in your team of the week.
Yeah, because...
Did you?
Well, I watched it, and the reason why, because I really think about this team of the week, and I know people criticise you.
Shocking.
But he lost one goal, right?
And
I said many saves.
Hold on, listen, let me finish, please. He lost one goal, and I said earlier that Hibs were far the better side in the first 45 plus minutes, and he pulled off some terrific saves. So
I'm justified
with my decision.
You can
there.
Check out
that
his team of the week
at
Clyde SSB.
You've backed that up that much.
There are one or two in there I've never heard.
Me panicking about it.
There's one or two in there I've never heard. I phoned Roger as well.
Who's that? Ross McCrory, Anthony Stewart and Liam Scales at the back. Jaden Richardson, Jack McKenzie, wingbacks. Leighton Clarkson, great form, brilliant performance the other night. Ramadani and Connor Barron, your former Brecon protege, and Duke, will he be diving tonight? He's up front supporting Bojan Miovski, who's got one more league goal than Lauren Shankland, as you heard on.
Do you know, I use my team of the week as well.
Who'd you fancy out of those two, Mark, Livy and Aberdeen tonight?
You know, I've got a funny feeling, Livy. I watched Livy against Celtic and they changed their full shape to something that didn't suit them. Obviously, it contained Celtic, didn't work for them. Sounds like David Martindale's went back to his original shape. Goals in it, I fancy Livy.
Draw.
Okay, Hibs Ross County, Marshall in goal, Porteous, Bashiri, Hanlon at the back, a bit of width from Cadden and Dimitri Mitchell, Ewan Henderson, Noah Kenna, and Joe Newell, and Kukurevich and Melkerson leading the line for Hibs. For Ross County, Laidlaw, Callum Johnson, Keith Watson, Iacoviti, George Harmon, Tilson and Latouri played well at the weekend in the midfield, Edwards, Danda, Kankola, and the man who scored at the weekend, Jordan White, as well. Home advantage, is that doing it for you, Hibs?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think, as I said, I thought Hibs played particularly well, 45, but home advantage tonight, I see them winning that one. It won't be easy, but I think home advantage.
Yeah, look good going forward, Hibs, especially at the weekend, so yep, fancy them.
Any more on the teaser, quick? Quick.
Gamboa?
Yes, well done, Gordon.
No, I'm sorry, I forgot
okay.
all about it.
We're going to speak to Alistair and East Kilbride next. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark and Gordon about to be joined by Alistair on the line very quickly. Any more on this teaser? Active players who've played in Scotland and have got over 50 caps for a team that's going to the World Cup. You've got Rogic, Joe Hart, Aaron Moy, you've got Key, Christian Gamboa,
Schmeichel,
Casper, well done.
Yep. Got to go Ramsey, Wales.
Oh, brilliant.
Aaron Ramsey.
Yes.
Yep, well done.
And one more, actually, Gudjon Behich, Dundee United.
Oh, super. Yeah. Well done. Okay, two to get. Let's bring in Alistair. What's your point for the guys tonight, Alistair?
Hello, Gordon, Mark. I'm sitting there pulling a list every night, and I'm sitting pulling my hair out with all the excuses for Gio. It should be gone, and that's the end of it. All this stuff about does he pick the signings, or if he doesn't pick the signings. The way I look at it is, if he's not picking the signings, he must have known that when he signed the contract. And if he is picking the signings, it's down to him for picking the signings, obviously. But I still don't blame so much of the signings. I mean, like Tillman and Sands, they're getting, what, two games and off and playing the wrong positions. I think they're pretty decent players. And I just think he's lost the whole plot of the thing. I watched the games all the time. I'm there all the time, and it's just boring rubbish. And you can't tell me that he's not taking some of the value from the players. I always look at things like when Rodgers came to Celtic, they weren't that great, and he made bad players into good, and then it reversed when took over. Anyway, and the same thing's happened with Rangers. Gerrard's came, turned half the decent players in, and now they're all suddenly rubbish players. This doesn't add up. It's me, it's coaching, the whole lot of it.
I mean, today, Alistair, the update, if you like, is that the manager says there's been no discussions with the board and he believes he can turn it round. You definitely don't have any faith left in that?
Absolutely none at all. None at all. I was, when it listened, see when he came, I was very happy. I've got to be honest, I was very happy. And at the end of last year, I was saying, oh, no, we need to give him a chance. Let him get his pre-season in with, see how it goes for there. But it's just been dire. The whole season's just been dire. Yeah, the odd wee game here and there, but that's it. It's just, and you can't tell me that we have not got a good enough squad to beat any of
of the teams in front of us, with the exception of Celtic, they are obviously better than us at the moment, no problem. But we should be beaten, even with the squad, the injuries, whatever, we should be beaten any team that's left, or at least putting up a decent fight, and we're not even doing that.
How do you feel about the game tomorrow, Alistair? Because like, you get really weird, you get in a weird headspace. I don't expect any Rangers fan, really genuine fan, to want the team to lose, because you can surely that goes against everything that being a football fan stands for. But is a win just papering over the cracks then, as far as you're concerned?
100%. I mean, I expect Rangers to go and win tomorrow quite easily, to be honest with you. It's like the Aberdeen game. We played Sands in front in the defence, and what he did all day long was play through the midfield, not just out to the wide. He was giving it to Tillman and Big Lindstrom, and things went great. And the game was set by Sands. He ran the whole Sands. He ran the whole show. And I think if you get that at Ibrox way, we've got players that can beat these teams. That's exactly what I'm saying. And I think we'll beat Hearts tomorrow. But it's just not good enough. One game in five kind of scenario. I mean, I've been a Rangers supporter all my days, and I've never felt so really. I mean, through all the bad days, you knew they were bad. But when you're expecting good things, and it's just drivel. It's really poor.
Yeah, Gordon, I'm fascinated by tomorrow. In isolation, what will the atmosphere be like even to begin? And then what will it be like if it doesn't go well? I suppose even what will it be like if it does go well? You know, still, will it be a sort of muted celebration, or, you know?
It's certainly going to be a pressure pot tomorrow at Ibrox. That there's no doubt. A lot of our Rangers fans have had enough. Alistair, I think, makes a great point about one thing.
Just one? I thought there was a few in there.
I'm highlighting one, because obviously we're coming to the end of the show. Is the fact of the style of play. Now, you look at, and we're comparing Celtic again, you look at Celtic in Europe and the Finnish bottom of the league. Their style of play was brilliant and the fans loved watching that. I think as a manager of like Van Bronckhorst, is if your style of play is good and it's on the front foot and you're making chances, okay, and you've sort of, and you've lost a couple of games like in Sunday, I think it gives you a little bit more. I think people see a little bit more light at the end of the tunnel. But apart from Aberdeen, probably in the last, I don't know, many games, we've had people on the phone walking out of Ibrox after 75 minutes when they were winning. You know, I'll give you an example, Dundee United. Mm-hmm. They're winning and they're walking out because of the entertainment style of the way that Rangers are
just
playing.
Just quickly, am I imagining things, or did 1 hour ago you say that it was overstated, all the stuff about the style of play, and it was the players that needed to take more responsibility?
But I'm talking about moving the ball and how they play and how the
moved the goalposts. No,
the players have got to take responsibility. Mm-hmm. You can't just blame everything the manager. The players have got to take responsibility. You've got a pride in your professionalism.
Who decides the style of play, though? This is a bit right, I'm not sure we're agreeing on.
Look, I don't think for one minute that the manager tells them to go out and play the way that
you
they're
don't
playing.
You don't think they're instructed to cross the ball as often as they do?
With a bit of quality.
Yeah, but that's not the point. You know fans what I mean? Phone in but here every week and say 73 crosses against Livy. Why do we keep doing that? Why don't we do something different?
Yeah, but you're highlighting one game against Livy, right?
The crosses is a theme right, every week.
But the manager's not telling them to go out there and go have 73 crosses and don't put quality into the box. The players have got to take responsibility when they're in positions. One, do you pick the right pass? Do I play the early ball? Do I drive it front post? Is my striker making a movement? There's more to that than just turning around saying, let's blame everything at the manager. Yes, he's got a massive responsibility of that, there's no doubt, but so is players on the pitch.
I just don't understand. You have lost me. If on one hand you're talking about Ange Postecoglou's style of play and it's his idea to go and do that, surely every manager needs to take responsibility if you're getting praise or criticism for it.
Of course they do. I think it's quite evident how Rangers play. I think fans, we say all the time, fans aren't daft. They go to the game, they pay their money, but they can see what's happening. They get a better view from us. When it doesn't work, surely the manager sees that that style isn't perhaps suiting the players. He's not got the players to flood the box for all these crosses he's putting in. Maybe coming out and working on midfield rotations or runners getting in beyond the strike might be a better option. The fact that he's not changed that is alarming, and I think that's what, you know, Alistair's last on there. I think that he's alluding to that, that it's predictable, it's boring to go and watch, and when it doesn't come off in the first half hour and teams kind of know what they're going to do, like St Johnson, and are happy to defend that way, then you aren't going to get results. So that's where you do need to point the blame at the manager. Tomorrow, look, I'll agree with Daz, these players can get him out of hole tomorrow. If these players go and say Ryan Kent puts one in the top corner in the first 5 minutes, then the atmosphere becomes a lot easier for Vern Bronckhorst to deal with. On the other hand, if they don't, it's going to be a difficult environment.
Alistair, what's your gut feeling then? How does this play out?
I think Rangers will win tomorrow, but as far as Vern Bronckhorst, his time for me has ran. And as far as all the rest there, as Rangers supporter, I think the vast majority say the time has ran. If he won 6-0 tomorrow, it wouldn't change my mind at all, not at all. Listen, see when he kept McGregor, Arfield and Davis when they were, could have been away. Now, you can't tell me that he didn't have any influence in that. You know, if I was that guy, I'd be saying, look, okay, their time was ran. Let them go and let's play some of the young boys or whatever. I can't for the life of me. He's made his own bed and he's lying in it, and we need to get a change of bed. It's as simple as that.
Change the bed.
Change the covers.
On that note, change the bed sheets.
Change the mattress.
On worse, dirty bed sheets. Thank you,
that.
Alistair. Have a good night.
Okay.
Good man, that was Alistair Nisco Bride. We have to change
the mattress.
The mattress protector on just in case. Can't be too sure.
Flip it over.
Do you iron your bed sheets?
Always.
Whilst they're on the bed or on an ironing board?
On the bed. I just jump the bed and on I go.
Anyway.
What became talking about that?
Still goalless in the two games. Miowski had a shot 20 yards out, easily held by Shamal George. Don't think much doing in the other game yet. Tibbs against Ross County. So you two have got two more left on this teaser. It's 10 players, active players, still playing. More than 50 caps for their country. That country must be going to the World Cup, and they've played in Scotland at some point. So like Rogic, Hart, Moy, Key, Gamboa, Aaron Ramsey, Kasper Schmeichel, Aziz Behic, two to get.
Atkinson, Hearts.
No. Remember, 50 caps is a
fair amount.
Jaranovic hasn't got has he?
No.
Give us a wee clue, Gordon.
There's
please.
Another goalie in there.
Another goalie plays. Is he still active in Scotland?
No.
Okay, that narrows it down to the globe.
I don't think you'll get them, to be honest.
The world.
The rest of the world.
Okay. He's Japanese.
Oh, the boy who played for Dundee United.
Correct.
Yeah. Forget his name. Give me the first letter of it.
K. It is the first letter of the surname.
Kawashim.
I don't know.
I feel like Mark's going to get a lot closer than you, so if you just be quiet for a second before you offend anyone.
I've never offended anyone. Come on,
Kawashima.
Yeah, bang on.
Ah, brilliant.
Kawashima, well done.
And the last one, with some more interest in you.
This guy pops up in the teasers quite weirdly often for some reason. Former Celtic midfielder. Under the, was that the kind of Ronnie Dyla era with it? Lennon, end
Johansson.
Of, end of Neil Lennon, I would say.
Stefan Johansson.
He's from Ghana. It's not Stefan Johansson.
No. Ghana? Yeah. Oh, Malumbu?
No.
Nothing.
I'll put you out your misery.
Our naturals, give it to
us. Well, this is the thing. No one ever really knew for sure which way around his name was.
Wicastle.
Mubarak or Mubarak Wicastle. Well done. Thank you, Mark and Gordon. Thank you for all your calls. Another very, very busy night. And what a night it's going to be tomorrow. Rangers against Hearts, all eyes on Ibrox, but big games, Motherwell Celtic as well, and two other fantastic fixtures. So make sure you join us then. Marvin Bartley and Cammy Bell are here. Callum Gallagher up next.